Okay, we're on the top of Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, right? Okay, because we just started the opinion of Rabbah, who said that really what's happening, right, in this case, is that the Reish Lakish had said that this our Mishnah is a Shita of Rabbi Meir who has a Lokum Mishalim, but he doesn't and he holds Lokum Mishalim, but he doesn't hold Mace Umishalim. And that's what, and that's how he explained why Bito, right? That Bito, you don't pay for it because he doesn't hold Mace Mishalim. So he explains because the case of the Ganav Atavach V'Shabbos. So that's, and Rabbi Meir says you're chayav to pay. So that's because it's Tovei Echad De'Achar. So Rabbi says no, really he's Tovei Echad De'Atzmo. Right, and really, Rabbi Meir holds Lokum Mishalim. Islay Meisim Mishalim. Islay. He really holds. We never say Meisim Mishalim. But this case is different. A special case that because it's a knas, because there's like this penalty of dal v'hei that you're going to pay right away. And we said that Rabba is l'taimei. So let's actually just start from there. Three lines from the top. V'azda. The last one lines. V'azda. V'azda. Rabba l'taimei. Da amar Rabba hayagidi ganav lo v'tavcha b'shabbes. Right, that Rabbah holds if you had already stolen the gedi before Shabbos, started the goat before Shabbos, right, and then you shechted it on Shabbos. So then, in that case, chayiv, you have to pay. Why shekfar nischayiv v'geneva kodim shi'av l'deis v'Shabbos? Right, because you already had done the act of a geneva, the thing that causes the payback in general had already started. Right, that you had already stolen the gedi. So even though the tvicha, which activates the extra three or four times, so that's new on Shabbos, yeah, but you had already stolen it ahead of time. And Rashi points out a few times where Rashi says, because it says dal v'hei and not gimel v'dalet, meaning that the requirements to pay four times or five times, which includes the initial, right, what we call the keren, right, the fact that you have to pay back the item itself, and then three or four times more than that, But it's four or five, so it's all connected together. That's the full payment. And so since the beginning of the payment was activated before Shabbos, the fact that your act of Chilul Shabbos activates the other three and four, it's not separate. It never says pay back three times the animal. You pay back four times or five times. So it's all connected together. However, ganav v'tavach v'Shabbos, but if you stole on Shabbos and you shechted it on Shabbos, then pater. Why shem ein ganeva ein tichah ve'ein mechira? Because if you never stole it, there would never be the opportunity for the shechting, right? It's obvious, but the point being, if the ganeva hadn't happened on Shabbos, then the rest of it wouldn't have happened. And we mentioned this yesterday towards the end, but I wanted to make it clear that the case is, and the assumption is that, and Rashi points this out, that the ganeva here is done is an act of chilul Shabbos also. Right, he takes the animal and he picks it up and carries it out of the house. Or whatever it is that he does, he does a chilul Shabbos as the act of acquiring the animal. And he does hotzah, some malacha, and therefore, again, the entire act of geneva involves chilul Shabbos, and that's why he doesn't pay at all, because again, he still assumes that, you know, we don't say Mesu Mishalim.
So one question. Everything you just said doesn't have to do with Mesu Mishalim, it has to do with paying three and four times?
It does have to do with Mesu Mishalim, because it's Mace because of the Chil Shabbos,
so you get
and Mishalim is the four or five times.
You get both. You get Mace.
So he holds that this is Rabbah who holds in general,
yeah,
right, that we don't say Mesu Mishalim. Right? We really don't say Mesu Mishalim.
Don't say it.
Right. Really don't say Mesu Mishalim.
But you do say you have to pay three and four times.
Paying really it's four or five times
four or
total,
five,
right? That's always true. I mean, anytime always, you okay. stole and you always pay four or five times. But the point is that what if the act of that's only true, says Rabbah, if the act of Geneva itself happens on Shabbos.
Right, but three or four days earlier.
So the distinction that Rabbah is making is that if the act of Geneva began already before Shabbos, so then you're gonna have to do both. Right? But he agrees that if the whole action happens on Shabbos, we don't say Mesa Mashalim.
Don't say it.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
And this is Rabbah's, like, Tosfos points out, this is how Rabbah understands Rabbi Meir, by the way. That's what Tosfos points out. So let's continue Rabbah's point, because there's another piece to this also. If Amar Rabbah is all part of the same same Maim of Rabbah. But Amar Rabbah, Hayagidi Ganav Lova Tavcha B'Machteres Chayev. So what's Machteres? There's a whole concept in the Gemara known as Bab Machteres. Bab Machteres means, let's say a person wants to steal from somebody else. So what do? They make a, they stand outside their house and they dig a tunnel into their house. Right? So they dig a tunnel underneath the person's house and they're waiting, you know, in the Machteres, in that tunnel, to pop up and steal from that person. So if the Ganav is there, so what happens? The owner of the house is actually allowed to kill the Bab Machteres, the thief. Why? Because there's an assumption that the person who comes in and you know it's a good shalit supply something breaks into your house, whatever. But the point is that if the person has come this way, they've tunneled into your house. They know that if the person finds you, right, if they get found, they might try to kill. So he's ready to kill, and since he's ready to kill you, in the case that he gets found out, so he's already like ki'ilu ready to kill himself. So any person who finds him, and even not just the owner, but any person who sees the guy doing this is allowed to murder the Bava Machteres. So why is that important? The point is, he's already mischai benafsha, right? He's chai visa, the Bava Machteres. Okay? So what happens if the guy comes to steal your sheep through the Machteres, right? Through this tunnel that he's tunneled into your house, right? So Amar Rabba Hayagidi Ganav Lo, right? Let's say he had already stolen it before. But then, Tavcha Bava Machteres, and then he brings it with him when he goes into the tunnel and he shechs it there. So chayev, he has to pay. Why? Because again, he had already stolen the sheep. It's like he sold it on Wednesday with the Shabbos case, right? He stole the sheep on Tuesday and then he comes to Machteres on Wednesday. He'd already stolen it before. So the fact that he's in the tunnel, right, the place where he's chayev misa, basically, right? Yeah. He's in that tunnel already with the sheep that he'd already stolen. So then, he's chayav to pay. Why? Because again, he's not being made. He's not mase mashalim to the same action. He already has to pay back for the beginning of the sheep. You know, the initial amount beforehand. The extra 3 and 4 only comes, you know, when he shechs, which in its place where he's also chayav misa, which is in the tunnel. So there, you're chayav misa.
It's a little different here, right? Because like here. The person who can kill him is the home.
Not real chayav misa.
Right,
you're not going to get misa v'idei bezdin in this case. Right. And the Gemara is actually make that distinction in a second. A little bit. Yes, it's a good point. Meaning, you're not chayav misa in the sense that you're going, Hashem is going to kill you. Right. You're chayav misa in the sense that the person could kill you. Right.
If he doesn't, and you have to
stay. Good. So the Gemara is going to talk about it in a second. Good. So, and then here's the last case. But Ganav betavach b'machteres. Right, what if he tunnels into your house and Yitaka steals the animal that way and then shechs it right away? So all that happens while he is b'machteres, it always happens while he is where he's in this place where he could be killed by you, and that would be totally permissible, right? Pater shimein gneve ein tivicha mechira. Because if he wasn't in that, the whole action of stealing happened in the place where he was chayav misa. Okay, so good. So the Gemara is asking, why do you need both cases for? Right. They're both cases to make the same point, which is if you started the act of Geneva before your Chayav Misa, then even if you finish the act, the Tvicha and the Mechira, while you're Chayav Misa, you still pay. But if you did the whole action together while you were Chayav Misa, then you don't pay. Right? That's basically the point. So why gave me both? And so it says the Gemara, Tzricha, but I need you to tell me both cases, the case of Shabbos and the case of Bava Machteres. Why? The Ashvin and Shabbos. If you told me the case of when he did all these things on Shabbos or before Shabbos and on Shabbos, Mishum di Surah Isra Olam. That's because Shabbos is an Isra forever. Right? Shabbos is, once you violate Shabbos, you are you're Chayav Misa forever. It is what it is. Rashi says, Mishum di Surah Isra Olam. On the left side, a few lines down from where we are in the Gemara. Kol zman she'yidu olav shechilo Shabbos yem yisuhu bezdin. Meaning they can come 5 years later and say, hey, this guy was Mechal Shabbos 5 years ago, and we kill him, right? Hilkach chamira misa delay lepocho mimon. I mean, why do you say, kim leib did rabbi nei, right? We take the more serious punishment, and only do that one. Well, it's because Shabbos is very serious. Shabbos, once you did it, you're on the hook. As if they ever find you out, they ever come, so you're going to be put to death for that. Right? Aval machteres, the iser shahu, Emalo. But Machteres, which is only Isser Shah, what do you mean Isser Shah, Rashi says, Ilo Mishkachle, Ahi Shaita. If you don't find him when he's in the tunnel, Su Lo Mikdal, you don't kill him. Right? You can't come later and say, oh, I saw the guy in the Machteres. He was in the tunnel into someone else's house. No, that's not how it works. You're chayav misa in a moment. In the moment, you can be killed. So then, emalah, maybe I'd say, oh, that's not such a serious chayav misa, right? Like everyone was pointing out. It's not really chayav misa, right? So maybe I'd say in that case that he does have to pay, right? But you could also make the opposite argument. About machteres, right? It's like he doesn't need a hasra, he doesn't need a warning. Why? Because he knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. Well, I didn't realize. You didn't realize you were digging a hole into someone's house. You know exactly what you're doing, right? So he doesn't. About machteres doesn't need a hasra. That's part of the whole. That's the whole chab of Abba Machteres. That's the chiddush. You can kill him without, he doesn't need a hasra to be killed, right? So maybe that's why it's so chumer, because he doesn't need a hasra. His hasra is the fact that he does what he's doing, yeah. Right? And that's why his punishment is so severe, and that's why he doesn't have to pay, right? Aval Shabbos, to buy hasra, emalo. But Shabbos needs a hasra, so maybe it's not as serious. And so therefore, tzricha, we need both cases to teach me that in both cases, if you did the whole action, the entire thing on Shabbos, right, in the Machteres, you're not going to, you know, we don't say Mesa Mishalim, but if you did them separately, then you would. Fine. So that's Rabba's opinion for Rabbi Meir.
What is the case, though, when he's putter from paying, and that he goes in and he goes into the cave and steals and shechs at once, right?
Yes. In that case, he's putter. Yes.
But then he leaves, and because again, the Misa is only going to take place if.
You're saying once he walks out of the Machteres, he has to pay now.
Right.
That's a good question. You hear the question? If our whole point is that, you know, well, you can ask the same question about Shabbos. Let's say the Shabbos case. Let's say he shechs the animal on Shabbos and he never gets found out.
Right.
No one brings Edim that he did it on Shabbos. So same question, I guess. Does he have to pay? There's no Edim that he shechted it, so there's no Edim to require him to pay in the first place.
Well, at least at that point, he's still chayav. I mean,
right. So it sounds like is that even if they would bring Edom later that he was Bab Machteres and Shechted in the Machteres, he's going to be putter to pay. Why? Because the moment that he Shechted, he was really Chayav Misa.
Right.
That's what it sounds like. That's the Chiddush. Even though it's an Isher Shah, right? Even though the death penalty there is not really a death penalty, and once he leaves, it's over, it sounds like either way, he's not going to be Chayav to pay.
Right.
Again, I'm not 1,000% sure, but that's what it sounds like.
Sounds like. But it
sounds like that. That's part of the Chiddush. It sounds like. Right. But that's what it sounds like. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Amr Rav Papa. Okay, Rav Papa says as follows: Haisa para ganuvalo v'tavcha b'Shabbos. So again, Rav Papa is going to be addressing a similar type of case, right? Let's say you had already stolen the cow, right, and then you shechted on Shabbos. So chayiv, he says you have to pay. Why? Shekfaris chayiv v'gneva kodem Shabbos. Right. This is the same idea. Basically, sounds like what Rabba said, right? But I had it was already stolen on Wednesday, and then I shechted on Shabbos. I had to pay. Why? Because I had already stolen it before Shabbos arrived. Okay. Haisa parah she'ulalo, but this is something new. Let's say he had borrowed the cow, right? V'tavcha b'Shabbos, and then on Shabbos, he chooses to shecht it, pater. He doesn't have to pay. Okay? So, the question is, why is that? What's the chiddush here? So, amalei ravacha b'reide rava le ravashi, rav papa parah asalashminim? Well, like, ravacha wants to tell me a chiddush. Ravacha says, Tervashi, Rav Papa wants to tell me a chiddush about a cow. A cow is not the same as a gedi; it's the same thing. But there's no chiddush for telling me para. So Amalei Rav Papa, no sheula aslash. What are you talking about? The chiddush isn't that it's a different kind of animal. The chiddush is it's a different form of acquisition, right? That what happened that I was only borrowing it; I hadn't stolen it. That I was borrowing it when I then decided to shecht it, right? Sachad adechamina. What might you have thought? Hov Amra Papa Mishas Mishicha Hudis Chayiv Le Mizonosei. What would you have said? Rav Papa himself holds that when you're borrowing an animal, from the moment that you pull it, right, and you take it, you acquire it, you're now Chayiv to pay for its food. So Hachanami Mishas She'ela is Chayiv Ba'onsei. So I might think that from the moment that I borrowed it, that's when I'm already Chayiv to pay for things that happened to it. Like, for example, you would have said, oh, if I borrowed the animal before Shabbos and shechted it on Shabbos, what would I have said? What do you mean? You already acquired it before Shabbos. So then, when I shechted on Shabbos, I should not be chayav. You might have said that I should be chayav to pay because I already started borrowing it. I already started acquiring it from before Shabbos. And kamash malam, what's the answer? No, in this case, you had borrowed it. Borrowing it, you hadn't stolen anything. It's the moment that you shechted it that what happens? That's the geneva also, right? So in that case, it's like ganav v'tavach b'shabbos. Mm-hmm. When you borrow something, you haven't yet done anything yet. You might return it. It's when you go ahead and you shecht it. The act of shechita is both the geneva and the tvicha at the same time. And that's why you chayav to pay. That's why you are, sorry, not chayav to pay, because both things happen on Shabbos. Kim le b'drabine, we're not going to make you do, we don't say meis u'mashalim.
Okay.
So Amar Rava, so now Rava has another case. Amar Rava, he niach lehen avien parashula. What happens if a father passes away and he had borrowed a cow before he died? And now when he dies, the yorshim, the inheritance that they get includes this borrowed cow. Okay? So it's not really theirs. They're gonna have to give it back to the original owner, but for the time being, they inherit the borrowing of the cow. Right? So he niach lehen avien parashula. So they had a thing, you were borrowing the cow for a year, and it's only 6 months in. So for the next 6 months, you get to continue to use that borrowed cow. You can milk it, you can whatever, you get to use the cow. Mesa, and if it dies, ein chayav in ba'onsa, and if it dies though, you're not chayav for the things that happen to it, right? The incidental accidents that might happen that a shoel usually has to pay, they don't have to. Why? Because they weren't the borrower.
The Yorshin.
Right, they're the Yorshin, they're not the actual original borrower. Okay. So Kisvurin, what happens? Kisvurin shall have VMH, but what if when the father dies, they know the father has the cow. They didn't know the father borrowed the cow. They thought the father owned the cow. And they didn't know it was a lease. They thought it was a purchase. Whatever. They didn't know. They didn't know it was borrowed. They thought he owned it. And what happened? So Kisvurin shall have VMH, he vitavchua v'achlua, and they go ahead and they shecht it and they eat it, not realizing that it wasn't their father's. It was really borrowed. So what happens? Mishalman demei basar bezul. So they have to pay back, but they pay back the amount of the value of the meat at the cheapest price. Rashi actually points out, demei basar bezul, kol zuza chashvinan be'arba. Right? They're like, every amount, they pay back like four times. But it's the cheapest amount. Okay. It continues the Gemara. He niach lenavian acharayas nechasim, but if their father left them a responsibility, right, like a certain amount of land that was left to them to pay, which they could pay back with, if they need to pay things, so then chayav neshalim. So then they're gonna have to pay. I mean, if the father leaves them a certain, Rashi says nechasim karkos, like there's a certain collateral or something that there's an expectation that they're gonna be able to pay back with that land. So then they have to pay back. And the question is, what's this last piece? What's it referring to? So some say this goes on the first part, right? The father leaves them something owned, borrowed, and some say it goes on the piece where it says that they thought it was their father's and they shechted it. So what does that mean? So man the masin la reisha kol shekina seifa upliga the rav papa uman the masin la seifa avala reisha lo v'hainu the rav papa. So let's see. Look, Rashi is going to explain what this means. So it says Rashi, ikni. The last skinny line, Rashi says, "Ika demasni aresha lahai hiniach lanavir achrayas nechasim." This idea of the father leaving them over this achrayas nechasim, that chayav and the shalom. In those kids, they have to pay. What's that talking about? V'arminan the chayavim beonsin, right? Meaning, one possibility is goes in the ratio. The ratio was if they thought, right, if the father left them the animal that was borrowed and it dies, they don't have to pay. So some say that this line about if you left them achrayas nechasim, you have to pay. So that's why on this first piece, that they would be chayav in the onus. Right? The chayav in the onus, that something happens to the cow, they're going to have to pay for it. Why? The shtab nechasim da'avuon mechayim mishash ila. Because what happened? When they borrowed it, clearly when the father borrowed that para, he said, yeah, but my land is going to be the payment if this animal dies. So since they acquired that land also, so then they'd be chayav to pay in that scenario. Okay? And if that's true, then kol shekein ha'seifa kishetavchua v'achua. If that's true, then certainly, if they're going to be chayav to pay when the animal dies out of no mistake of their own, then certainly if they go ahead and they shech the animal, they're going to have to pay, right? Right? Upligi the Rav Papa. And that would seem to be against Rav Papa. Why? The Amr Le'el, ha'hi shaita de matu la onsin hu de asichiyu v'aleha v'lo misha ha'sheila. Because Rav Papa was the one who had said, right, that it's only the moment when the ones happens that they now have a chiyuv, right? But not from the moment of borrowing. That, you know, that Rav Papa's argument before, you know, had said, who had taught us that thing about She'ila, right? So this would be against that idea of She'ila, because he had said only when you actually steal it, right? Not from the moment that you borrow it, okay? However, let's keep going on Rashi. If you eat the masim, the seifa, and there's some who say, no. This idea of the acharis nechasim, they have the land to pay back, etc. That's only going on the last case, right? Heicha detavchuha, right? The case where they shechted it, right? The im hiniach lehenavin acharis nechasim mishamin tashlumen me'alya v'lo bezul. In that case, what happens? What had we said? We had said that if the father left them this land to pay back with, then. Sorry, the case was if they had shechted the animal that they thought was their father's, they have to pay back only like the bargain basement price. So there comes this last statement to say, no, if you have this money to pay back with, so then you have to pay back the full price, right? The appropriate price. V'lo bezul, the bayal lehu lemedik, you should have checked. Because the fact that your father said, oh, here's the land in case you have to pay back, so you should have known that it was only a barred item. Aval aresha, imesa, that's different. Lo machai v'leshlumei, v'lo amrina yishtabu nechasei da'avu on misha she'ila. Meaning, if that line of acharis nechasim is going on the seifa, then maybe it's still in the ratio, the case where they just inherited a she'ela and the animal happens to die, maybe there they still wouldn't have to pay. They still would be, they would be off the hook because they just inherited a borrowing. Fine. Okay. Okay, so after all is said and done, we now find ourselves having said three opinions about how to deal with the seeming stira, right? This seeming contradiction between the Mishnah and Eilanirus, our Mishnah here, right? That all the people who have a man who has tashish with these specific women, he has to pay a kanas, and the Mishnah and Eilu Hinalokin that says in those cases he has to give malchus, that he gets malchus, right? And we had different approaches to answering this question, right? We had Rabbi Yochanan, and we had Rish Lakish, and then we had a third opinion. We had Rabbi Yochanan, and we had Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish who said this is all this case of loka mashalim, and Rav Yochanan who had said no, it's really a case of the point is that you're not that we never say loka mashalim. So the question the Gemara asks now is as follows: Bishlama Rav Yochanan lo amar Rish Lakish. I get right that Rav Yochanan doesn't want to hold like Rish Lakish. Why? To come mokim lo karabanan. Right, because he holds, right? He holds like the Rabbanan. Rashi says, "Bishlam Rav Yochanan dimuki masnisin bishalo hisra." Right. Sorry, Rav Yochanan's point was he said, "What's the case? The case is they're not going to get malchus. Why? Because they never got a hasra." And that's Rav Yochanan. That's Rav Yochanan's case, right? That's how he explains the difference. So, according to Rav Yochanan, who says that the Mishnah was that they didn't get hasra, and that's why they're not going to get malchus, and they're just going to pay, right? Lo amar kereish lakish that we're in the most wide lines in Rashi. Lo amar kereish lakish to ukme kerev meir. He doesn't like kereish lakish. He thinks that the whole Mishnah is like Rav Meir, that loka mishalim. Why? That I understand because Bishlam Rav Yochanan amar kereish lakish to kamokim la kirabanan, right? Because he wants to hold like the rabbanan. But el reish lakish. My time lo amar kerev Yochanan. But why did meaning? And we want to hold the rabbanan like the majority. That's better, right? But then why does Rish Lakish not want to hold like Rav Yochanan? I mean, that would be easier. Say Rav Yochanan's answer. That's oh, I'll tell you this. It's not a stira. And our Mishnah, when you just say give a kanas, it's because you didn't get a hasra, and that's the reason why you're going to pay, even though usually you're not looking mashalim. So why did it say like that? So amalacha. So the answer continued in the Gemara. Kevan di ilu asribe pater. Kilo asrube nami pater, right? So I'll tell you what Rish Lakish will say back. They'll say Rav Yochanan. If your whole case, your only reason they're not going to get malchus is because they didn't get asra. So then that what it really means is if when they don't get asra, then when they don't get asra, they since in a situation where they would have gotten asra, they wouldn't pay. So they should never really pay. I mean, we say like quote we've been talking about this before like chayav misa, you don't have to pay. Doesn't necessarily mean that they actually gave a hasra and the guy's putting sentence to death. It's if the general punishment is on its way to him and could ever come to him, right? So you shouldn't have to pay. So same thing here. So Rish Lakish says what? Okay, he didn't get hasra in that specific scenario. That's why he pays. But if he would have got hasra, he doesn't pay. So the fact that if he would have gotten hasra and he really is chayiv malchus, he doesn't pay. So he should never have to pay because he's always kind of chayiv malchus. And that's why he would say back. And Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish are each both following their general approach, which is what? When Rav Dimi came, he said the following. He came from Eretz Yisrael and he delivered the following halacha. Chayve misos shogigin, v'chayve malkios shogigin, v'davar acher. Yochanan amar chayv, Rish Lakish amar pater. Right? What happens if a person is chayv misa, v'shogig, or chayev malchus b'shogeg, and you did something that otherwise, meaning they're not going to get misa if you're shogeg. The point is the things that you would have been chayev malchus for or chayev misa for. Yes, what happens? V'davar ach, and then he has some other thing, something, some monetary claim that he has to pay back. So what happens? If Yochanan amar chayev. Yochanan says you're chayev. Why? Because you did it b'shogeg. If you did it b'shogeg, what's going to happen? You're not actually going to get the misa. You're not actually going to get the malchus. So Rav Yochanan's whole approach is, I care if you're actually getting it or not, right? Like you said before, if I don't get asra, so fine, then you pay. Or if you get asra, then you don't pay. So Rav Yochanan says, I care if you're actually getting the punishment or not, right? Rish Lakish amar pater. Rav Yochanan says, no, you don't pay for that. Why? Because you're really chayev for the bigger punishment, right? Even though you're not going to get it, but you did the thing that would bring the bigger punishment. Rav Yochanan amar chayev to halu asrbe. Rav Yochanan says, you're chayev. Why? Because you have to pay because you didn't actually get the hasra. Rish Lakish Amar Pater, Kevin, the Ilu Asrbe Pater, Kilo Asrbe Nami Pater. Rish Lakish says, I don't care that you actually got hasra or not. That doesn't matter to me. I don't care if you actually have to get the more severe punishment. The fact that the punishment in theory would be coming your way would be enough to make you not have to pay. And that's the reason for the machlokas between the Gemara wants to say, Rish Lakish, Rav Yochanan, and Rish Lakish. And we'll continue next week on the bottom of the page. Okay, Shkaich.